Hello, I'm Lorinda, a marijuana addict, and I'm really grateful to be here tonight. This is my first time doing a phone meeting, so I was a little nervous coming in, and I've known about speaking here for about 2 months now, so in usual fashion, I've gone to the website multiple times and made sure that, you know, tried to prepare myself, but I'm still a little nervous, but also very excited, too. My sobriety date is 12/26/21, and I have been in the room since October 3rd, 2021, and it took me a long time to get here, but I'm so glad that I finally did. I'll start from the beginning. I'd say in 2008 was maybe my first time having marijuana. And I don't remember feeling anything. And then shortly after, you know, a few times I was given edibles and then I felt soft. But there was a night that I had gone drinking and then the next day went to a friend's house and it was my first time actually smoking and feeling it. And I was really hungover and I just needed something to kind of pick me up and that was what it was, you know. And I remember sitting there and just feeling just everything changed. It went from feeling like crap to forgetting that I was even feeling like crap and feeling just totally out of it. And I really, really liked that. But the thing is that that wasn't me off to the races. That was just me knowing, okay, marijuana does something that I like, and I won't say no to it if I'm ever offered it. So, you know, here and there it would be given to me and it would just be, okay, we're at a party, we're going to enjoy this thing. And then it was, okay, I have my own job now, I've got my own money, I can buy my own weed. And I had a boss who was also a user. She, you know, she smoked weed too. And so she would offer me her half-used joint and, you know, for free because she couldn't handle too much of it. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll just smoke the rest of this. And I was living with my mom at the time and I would go on the patio while she was asleep and I would, you know, sneak out there and I would smoke the joint and it would be nice. And I loved it. And, but, you know, my mom was the type of person that if she knew I was smoking weed, oh, my gosh. You know, there would be, it would be a lot to deal with. And I was not prepared to deal with that. So I did everything that I could to hide it from her. And then got a different job, had a friend who smoked. So I would go to her house after work and smoke and, you know, I would get weed from her, and at some point, it wasn't hiding on the balcony anymore. It was burning sage while smoking in my room and kind of being a little brazen about it, but also thinking that no one could smell anything because I was burning sage, so it's okay. Trying to point the fan out the window instead of, like, you know, where the wind hits me, where it kind of goes outside, and I would blow the smoke through the fan. And then it just got more brazen where I would bring friends into the house, and we'd all just smoke in my room together. And at that time, addiction was not something that I even considered. It was not a word in my vocabulary. I was a stoner. I loved smoking pot, and that was what it was. It wasn't an addiction. It was just something I really enjoyed doing. And then there was a night, April 2nd, 2012, I was smoking and my mom had gone to bed, and it was just after midnight when she was starting to have issues. And I was just annoyed. I was annoyed that she was awake because I couldn't finish my bowl. I was bothered. Like, my session was being interrupted. And it was upsetting. And then my night got worse. Turned into April 3rd that morning. Very early morning. My mom started having symptoms of a heart attack, and I didn't really know what was going on. I don't know the symptoms. I mean, I knew the symptoms, but I wasn't even aware that that was what's happening. And unfortunately, I was present during her passing. And that was a huge shock for me. And I remember saying, well, I'm never going to smoke again because it made me unaware of what was even happening. And I'm never going to do it again. I had left a half-smoked bowl on my desk. I just was never going to touch it. And at some point, I think it was like the next night, I was having really, like, I was just, it was not good. Mentally, I was not in a good place. I had to call my friend at whatever time in the morning she picked up, and she was just like, why don't you just smoke? Just smoke, it'll make you feel better. And I thought, well, you know what? It has in the past made me feel better. I'm going to do it, and, you know, maybe it'll help me. Maybe it'll change what I'm feeling. And it did. It did help. It made me feel better. It made me not feel the pain of losing my mom. But there is also a caveat to that, because while it didn't make me feel the pain, there would be times where I would smoke it and I would go right back to that memory. But the lack of feeling trumped that. It was just, okay, I don't feel this discomfort anymore. I really want to keep not feeling this discomfort. So I also not only didn't want to feel, but now I no longer had somebody who was going to stop me from using the way that I really wanted to. And what I wanted to do was go from somebody who would forget that I even had weed in my drawer and who would smoke maybe randomly, though brazenly, to somebody who would smoke every day. And I went from, you know, we had to leave the apartment that we were living in. We moved to a different apartment. At this time, I bought a bong because now I didn't have to hide it anymore. My dad, you know, he had his opinions about it, but he wasn't one to stop me. You know, he wasn't going to give me trouble for having it around. For him, it was just like, oh, you're smoking that green stuff again. And and so that's what it was, you know, it wasn't a problem. And so I went from smoking here and there to smoking every day. And at some point, it became very obsessive. And it was me going to therapy to talk about my mom's passing high and not being able to really process it, being given antidepressants and really not really, you know, just not being able to, I mean, they worked for me and then they didn't. And I didn't realize that the weed was why they stopped working. And so I stopped taking those and just relied on the weed because, you know, that for me was my antidepressant. And wow, you know. It was a shock when I lost the job because I would smoke and I would just go to work high. And I thought, well, you know, nobody knows because I've got this Febreze on, I'm doing it. And I brush my teeth before I go in. I take a shower before I go in. And it started to be, well, I don't want to go to work because I want to stay home and smoke weed. And then in 2016, about 4 years after being full-blown active addiction, I lost my job because it was just one too many times of calling out of work to stay home and smoke. And my boss called me in January 5th of that year and said, okay, well, you're fired. And it was hard, you know, it was hard to deal with that. And I was like, all right, well, now I've got to figure out something. Like, I've got to work somewhere. And I do massage therapy. So at the time, I didn't have a license because I was working under him. And licenses in California are very expensive. So I didn't have that money for anything. And I needed to find a job. So I did find somewhere else to work. But it was a terrible experience. It was very bad. So I had to leave there for my mental health. And I spent probably about like 9 months relying on friends who were clients and, you know, being very broke. My brother had moved in with us at the time, and I was also relying on him to help me buy weed. And I remember this one time where I didn't have money for weed, and we had to buy groceries. Like, it was either weed or groceries, and it wasn't going to be weed because it wasn't just me. But if it was just me, it would have been weed, and I would have been starving. That's the bottom line. That's the honest to God truth. And I remember withdrawing and being very upset, just not being a good person, just not. And I recall a time where I literally dropped to the floor like a little toddler, kicked, cried, and said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. It's like I didn't even have to finish a sentence. It was, but it should have been, I don't know what to do without weed. I don't know what to do without weed. And, you know, at some point in that process, I connected with somebody who was able to get me my certification. I was able to get a job, but there were times when I didn't have a job that, you know, sometimes it wasn't weed or food. It would be weed. It would just be like, we have enough food in the house. We don't need more food. Or I would ask my brother to help pay for my weed. It was, you know, for me, if I had the choice, it would have always been weed, and I would have done anything I could to maybe try to get some food, but it was primarily like that was my main focus. And so I got the job in later in 2016, I think December, but I started working again in 2017, stayed at another job for about a year and a half, and you know, would smoke, go to work high there, but not call out. I kind of learned my lesson in that. I didn't want to lose another job. But I would still go to work high because I needed to cope. You know, I didn't like that job either. And then I got another job, and just this one I like more. I've been at this one for about 5 years now, probably a little bit over. And all this time, though, I kind of knew as soon as I lost that job and I started choosing weed over food, that was when it kind of hit me. It's like, whoa, I think I might be an addict because this is the same kind of stuff that my mom would do for cigarettes, is like she would buy cigarettes over food. And And I think that this is probably not just me liking pot. I think that I might actually have a problem here. So I recall searching on the internet, like just, I don't know, Marijuana Anonymous. It wasn't even like I knew that it was real. I was just, I knew that there were 12-step programs with Anonymous after, and I thought, well, let's see if that's a thing. And it turned out it was. And I remember donating a dollar, and I thought, well, I'll donate a dollar to the potheads because, they might need it more than I do. And little did I know that I was going to be a part of this thing. I remember downloading the app and thinking, well, I'll answer the questions. And then later on, I thought, what is this app doing here? How did this app get on my phone? And then deleting it. It wasn't until 2020 when things kind of hit the fan. I was overspending on weed, like a lot. It was a lot. I was overspending on weed, and in December of that year, challenged myself. And I said, let's do 30 days of no weed. And the first day of that 30 days, I had a beer because I couldn't fathom the thought of not having anything. And I felt sick that day. So I said, why don't we try nothing? Like, let's just go no weed, no alcohol, just for 30 days. And I white knuckled it the entire time. And I knew that MA was an option, but it was not going to be an option for me because I didn't need to quit. I just wanted to see if I could go 30 days. And when I did that, it was really hard. I remember going to my friend's house, who was also a using buddy with me, and she'd be like, I was on my like 28th day, I think. And she's like, well, why don't you just smoke? Like, you'll feel better. It'll make, like, this is the same friend who told me to smoke after my mom passed away. And I said, no, I really want to see if I can get to 30 days. Like, I just want to see if I can do it. And once that 30-day hit, I felt a lot better. I was really using my time to kind of like help build a puzzle that I had started. Watch a lot of TV, spend time with my boyfriend, that kind of thing. And once that 30-day hit, though, I think I can't remember for sure. I feel like I tried to go to an MA meeting, and then I saw that they were like reading how it works and doing the Serenity Prayer, and I thought, no, I'm good. I'm so good. I don't want to be a part of that. That's weird. I can't. And then I left immediately after. I was like, all right, well, time to order because I made it to 30 days, and I could have gone longer, but I just wasn't ready. But the thing is that kind of opened the door a little, like it cracked the door a little bit open, because for some reason, I don't know, I think it was my higher power, I truly do, but I feel like my higher power was saying, was speaking to me, and I heard this voice in my head that said, you're gonna quit weed this year. And to kind of like back it up a little bit, in 2020, I started to, on my path to nursing school, and to do all my prerequisites to get into a program and to just kind of get started on it. So 2021 of that year, I was like, doing some classes and taking my first science class, and that was really cool. And then I took anatomy in October, like from August to December. And I wasn't doing too good, you know, anatomy. I should have probably started off doing better because I'm a massage therapist, but I was scraping by. I think I was failing the class, and I thought, I can't fail this class. It's going to mess up my track. I need to do something. I was also starting to be late to work because I would smoke before going to work. So things were starting to kind of come to a head. And it was either I decide to quit smoking or I keep smoking and I mess everything up. I mess up my goal and I potentially lose my job. And I didn't want that. So I listened to that voice that said, "You're going to quit weed this year." I didn't believe it at the time when I heard it, but I was like, "Okay, let's do this." And I was like, "But I'm not going to go to NA. I'm not doing that because I don't want to, I don't, people scare me. Like, I'm terrified of people. I don't want to go into a room. Like, I don't want to be judged. And I have a feeling that they're going to have a lot to say." And at some point, I got a therapist who basically told me to come to MA. And she's like, "They're really nice people. You're going to have a great time. Like, they're really nice. I want you to go to your first meeting and I want you to tell me how it went." So I finished my sash on October 2nd, 2021. And October 3rd, I come home from work and I wish that I could smoke, but I'm like, "No, let's try to find a meeting." And I found one. And I remember going in and there were, I can't remember, you know, it's really, it's kind of a blur as far as like the timing goes. But at some point during that meeting, I said, "Oh, I have one day." And I heard a round of applause. And it was shocking to me. I was not expecting that. I thought, "Wow, this is amazing. Like they're really happy for me that I have one day. That's great." And I think before the meeting had started, the secretary asked me if I wanted to read how it works. And I thought, "We have to read?" And she said, "Well, you don't have to read, but if you want to, you can." And I thought, if I say no to this, then when am I going to say yes? So I said, "Yes, I will read how it works." And I read it, and my voice was trembling the entire time. And I was very, very aware of myself in a way of like, "Whoa, I'm actually doing this thing." And my therapist had told me, "I want you to do a 90-90." So I picked a time of day that I knew was my most active time of using, and I would go to meetings instead of smoking. And I did a 90-90, and it made a world of a difference for me. There were many times during my first month, I was dealing with the loss of a pet, and it was very difficult. It almost took me out. It really did. I was very, very close to going out because of that. But I continued to go to meetings, and I continued to share, and I shared in every single meeting that I went to because I knew that that was what was going to help me versus not saying anything. And I saw a lot of people who had time, and I had a sponsor. You know, I needed somebody. So the first 2 weeks, I started feeling squirrely, and I thought, "Well, if I need to get a sponsor, and I need to start working these steps so I can figure out like how to stay sober." And it ended up not working out with her. Just like, you know, a lot of schedule conflicts. So I had to kind of get the guts and advocate for myself and say, "Hey, you know, this isn't working out. I'm going to have to find somebody else." And I did. And the sponsor that I have now is amazing. She is exactly the kind of sponsor that I need. She is very, she sets boundaries and she shows up when she says she's going to show up. And she, I don't know, you know, it's just like the je ne sais quoi. She has a certain like thing about her that made me like, wow, that's the kind of recovery I want. And so when we started working the steps, the first thing she said to me was, you know, you have to be totally sober. You can't even have alcohol if you want to work with me. And I had just come off of an alcohol relapse where I, you know, this is why 12/26/21 is my sobriety date and not 10/3/21, because I did have a very interesting Christmas day before. And it made me realize that if I drink, it's very likely that I'm going to smoke. And I didn't smoke that night, but I was very close. It took my walls down, and it made me vulnerable to the possibility of going out. So I was very glad that she said that. And I've been completely and utterly sober since then. And I remember when I was first coming in the first few months, I think it was definitely in December, they were doing elections, and it blew me away, like, wow, you guys are really organized, like, you guys have elections, there's, you know, I was not aware, this is my first 12-step program, I was not aware that was even a thing, and I became chip person. And I think somewhere along the lines, I was timer in my first 3 months. I really don't remember, but I definitely remember being chip person. And I definitely was nervous about it. I was very nervous because I thought I had to be absolutely perfect at this. I cannot mess it up. You know, I have to be amazing. And then I realized at some point that I don't have to be amazing. I just have to show up and I just have to do it. I don't have to be perfect. I just have to be there. And so I did that, and it was great getting to celebrate milestones with other people. And then I decided to be secretary, and that was absolutely scary. But it was also, you know, I get to lead this meeting and I get to open up this meeting for people. And this isn't just for the recovery, but it's also for mine, because it's giving me confidence. Now I have confidence to be able to do things versus before where it was like, oh, I can't do that. Like people, none of that is for me. But now it's totally opposite. And I worked the steps and I did all of that and really got to unleash things that I have been holding on to for years, ever since childhood, that I don't think I ever told anybody, that my sponsor knows. And she allowed me to heal from that by accepting me for who I am and not judging me for it. And that's exactly what I needed, and I didn't even know it at the time. So I, at some point, was asked to be a sponsor by someone who is currently a sponsee, and I said, yes, I will gladly do it. And she is almost done with her 12th step, and she's been an amazing sponsee. Our relationship has been wonderful, and it's given me the confidence to continue being a sponsor to other women who need a sponsor. I do service in other ways. You know, I became a GSR for a meeting, and I continue doing service because that's what it does. It helps me in my recovery. It gives me the confidence that I need to, I don't know, just have the confidence, something that I've been lacking. And I think that what the lack of confidence is what caused me to become such a major pothead, because I always thought, well, you know, everybody's doing it, so I should too. I don't want to be missing out on this. And I kind of want to feel nothing at all. I don't want to feel anything. And pot did that for me. It gave me all of that. But Marijuana Anonymous gave me so much more that pot ever could, because I never got super confidence. I think it was like a faux confidence from pot, but it wasn't real. There was no stability to it, because the moment you took pot away, then where's the confidence? There was none. But I feel like now that I have this, it's easier for me to navigate things throughout my entire life. I had to go to in-person classes, 2022, I think, October, or, you know, fall of that year, and it was scary, and I didn't really want to, but I also knew that I had to, and, you know, I've been doing really well in school, and it allowed me to, like, be able to talk to classmates and kind of get to know them and kind of prep myself for when I have to go to nursing school and actually, like, talk to people. And, I mean, in all aspects of my life, things have significantly improved. I'm not afraid to go to the store anymore. You know, before it was like, I'm afraid to go to the store because I'm afraid I'm going to get robbed. And that is definitely a paranoid thought, but that's where I was. And now it's, you know, I go to the store and I know what I need and I get it. I pay my bills. I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to have pot or I'm going to have electricity or food. Or, like, will I overdraw in my bank account because I took out too much money for weed? You know, all of these little things that kind of just, like, mounted up into bigger things at some point. So I'm just grateful that I'm here. I'm grateful that I'm able to tell my story. I'm not obsessed with it anymore, which I never thought that was going to happen. I thought I was trapped for the rest of my life. And I know, I just, you know, I wasn't expecting MA to be what it's been. I was expecting to come here, get sober, and then move on with my life. But I've come here, I've made friends, I've made connections with other people, I've gotten confident, I've been able to give other people, you know, the message. I am sober out loud, so I share my sobriety with other people who I believe, you know, could benefit from it. And I've helped other people be aware of Marijuana Anonymous in that way. And I didn't realize that was going to happen. So many more things that have been given to me because of this program. And I'm grateful. Absolutely grateful. I have a higher power who cares about me and who has guided me today in this lead, who guides me whenever I ask and sometimes when I don't ask. And sometimes when I do ask, it's the answer that I don't want. And it's something that I did not expect. But, you know, the higher power does what the higher power does. And I'm really grateful that I heard that voice. And I'm even more grateful that I listened to it. And, yeah, I mean, this process has been wild. And it's been very hard, but it's been worth it. And I think that's all I have to share. So thanks for letting me share. And I'll take another 24.